listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning, gang. How's everybody doing? Doing all right? Yeah. Hey, welcome to part two of a series that we're calling How to Get Life Right. Before I jump into today, some fool attacked Israel, and they're going to pay grievously for it. The nation of Iran launched an attack on God's chosen people in a land that is eternally given to them in covenant. They are fools to do it. In modern history, since 1948, Israel has started zero wars. They have won all eight that were waged against them. And every time that they do it, you guys are primed. I love it. It flips the attack on the attacker. You understand me? It flips the attack. And this fool is about to understand what that means from God. Now, we are a church that believes what the Bible says, that property is deeded to them eternally. And I hate when I look on those news programs and they take out the West Bank or Gaza, because it's not only that, they own a lot more than that. That's even part of their national borders. But listen, we need to be a church that prays for them and stands with Israel. Amen? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for the nation of Israel. I pray for your chosen people, the Jews. God, we send out the word right now all across the world, and we pray for a divine protection. Beyond just the Iron Dome, we pray for a hedge of protection around your people. God, we pray that what the enemy means for bad, you mean it for good. That we're going to flip this whole thing, and Israel will be better off. God, we thank you that your prophecy will be shown to be true, and everything that you said will come to pass. God, we pray that your goodness to the nation of Israel will ultimately show them the Messiah, Jesus. God, we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen somebody? Okay, there were a couple of announcements I wanted to share before I preach to you today. And one of them you saw on the screens, and it is about our homeschool cooperative. My wife is launching a homeschool co-op here. And yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. And so listen, if you've got young people and you're just interested, listen, it's not Hotel California where you can like check out but not leave. Like, you can just come and check out the information and go back and do whatever you're going to do. But we might be able to show you that it is within your capacity. I laughed with Kaya one time. I said, Kaya, you're not organized enough to homeschool our kids. We laughed and laughed. And then 2020 happened. And a lot of things in culture changed quick. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? And Kaya hit the books and found out she was better at it than she thought. So much so that she's going to be an incredible director here. I believe that this is within the capacity of a lot of the families here at New Chapel. You should just come and hear what she has to say. It's going to be a pretty cool night. Speaking of all of that, I've got two other ones that include Kaya. We have a women's event coming up. And you should get your wife, your daughters out there April 20th. It's at 10 o'clock. They're having brunch. It's going to be classy. Not like men's breakfast where it's just bacon, you know, and grits would be fine. But April 20th, a women's event. And then Mother's Day, Kaya's preaching. How cool is that? Mother's Day is our day to just spoil you. And so, Mom, make sure that you're here. Make sure you bring your kids. And then it is also Child Dedication Weekend. So if you have a young person that hasn't been dedicated, hey, make sure that you sign up over at Guest Services. If they're like 7 to 10 years old and they're really rebellious, like you're raising Damien, hey, we'll do what we can. And if you're a newcomer, meaning in the last maybe 6 months or so, you've been coming to church and kind of plugging in, but you'd like to know us a little bit better, I'd love to meet with you. So after service on April 28th, after the third service, we're having a newcomer's reception, and here's the agenda. It's food. We're just going to go and eat some small snacks and some refreshments and just enjoy talking to each other. There's no even talking to everybody part. It's just visiting, and I'd love to be able to shake your hand. I believe that this church can grow and grow relationally at the same time. I'd love to just hear a little bit of your story. So make plans to be there. And then we've been in a season where we've had a lot of people coming for the first time, really beginning to plug into church. And so I want to just personally invite you, if you haven't already done it, you need to be a part of New Chapel Connect. What's that? It's our way where you can, join the church, but it also just an opportunity to find out more about us. It's also your opportunity to really join in on what God has for you in your purpose. Find out what God made you for. Now, we don't satisfy all of that, but we give you a good running start with it. And so it's held all month during service. So it's happening right now over in a classroom, and we do the first and second. There's only two parts, and then we repeat again. So the first and second week of the month is the first and second part. The third and fourth is the first and second part. There's always an opportunity for you to plug in, and you can leave your kids back at New Kids. I'd love for you to come to that, to hear a little bit about who we are and how you can fit into all of that. God has a purpose for your life. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
And it's important that you understand that, because we at New Chapel, we want to take you on a spiritual journey. So New Chapel is not about just getting together and having church services. We want to help you to take steps in your Christian walk. That is to say that God has more for you. Last week, we talked about the beginning of all of that in detail. We talked about how the first step of your spiritual journey matters. And to take that first step is important, because you're not going to experience the other three steps in that spiritual journey without engaging in the first. Well, what's the first? If you weren't here, the first step is that you would know God, that you'd have an intimate and personal and dynamic, powerful relationship with an all-powerful God. He loves you and he wants to know you. He's less interested with you changing religions or church. He wants to know you. Amen, somebody? Now, the spirit part of you, when you accept Christ, it is born again. You become new on the inside. But that kind of leads us to the second step, and that is that the rest of you has to catch up with that decision. So what does that mean? We have habits. We have addictions or issues. Maybe you have issues in your marriage or relationships. We've got stuff. So when we accept Christ, we've got stuff that we need to deal with, and it needs to change. And life has to catch up with the decision that we made. And we say that you need to find freedom, that God has freedom for you. Some churches stop at salvation, doesn't really go further than that. We want to let you know that God wants you to experience days of heaven on earth like the Bible says. Amen, somebody? And then it goes on to the third step, and that is that the yesterdays, when they're all cleared off, the smudges off your glasses, when you found freedom, all of a sudden it's going to become evident that God has more for your life, and that is that we want you to discover purpose. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that next week. Don't miss that. The fourth step in the spiritual journey is the last step, and it reveals that you are not here on earth just to suck air, not just to go to work and pay the bills, not just to go on vacation once or twice a year, or just to go to the game. Those are all okay, but God has more for your life, and that is he wants you to make a difference in this world. It's what life is really all about, and it's where you're going to find fulfillment. Now, this spiritual journey all leads you to the spot where you're making a difference for Jesus. Here's what this looks like. You're going to wake up in the morning, and your head can't wait to get off the pillow. You're excited about what God is doing. You're excited to get to work. You're excited about what God is working out in your church. That is somebody who's engaging in a life that's truly making a difference. Everybody say amen? Amen. So that's what we want to do. So church is more than just having church services. We want to engage in a spiritual journey that's straight out of the Bible. That's the goal here at New Chapel. Today, what we're going to do is talk about that subject of freedom, the second step in that journey. And this is a major part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, you should turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. So Jesus is beginning his ministry. He is ordained as a rabbi. He officially has the authority to go into a temple, what we would call church today. He has the authority to go to church and preach. He can read the scripture. He can declare doctrine. He has the authority to do this as somebody who has the credentials. And it shows us a major part of his ministry. Very early on, he's handed a scroll. We'll pick up in Luke 4. I'm going to start in verse 16. Scripture says this: Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He's going to church. And he stood up and read. So the guy comes over and he hands him the book of Isaiah. Jesus reads it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. There's your no God, by the way, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. There's your find freedom. And recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. There's your discover purpose. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There's your make the difference. That's just for those of you that like extra homework like me. But here's what he's doing. He's telling you his job description. So here's what this looks like. After he reads the scroll, it's Isaiah 61, by the way. He rolls it up, hands it back, and he sits down and he says, "Hey, everybody, this has been fulfilled in your hearing today." In other words, I'm God. Now, that's alarming to them, and it's one of the reasons why he was crucified. But notice what he says about his job description. Here it is. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. One of the job descriptions of Jesus Christ is to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to take people that have been just put into shambles by the world, or by experiences, or by their parents, or by life, or by negative words spoken over them, or negative things that they rehearse in their head. People that are broken. Jesus, one of his job descriptions is to put them back together again, is to heal the broken heart. It's a huge deal. Now, this prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus, and here's where this is all going. You need to know that many in the sound of my voice today, you're saved. You're going to heaven. It's just you kind of wish heaven would come a little sooner because you're not living a lot of heaven on earth. You're living a lot of hell on earth because of these things that have a grip on you. Listen to me. Remember this moment. Jesus has freedom for you. He has freedom for you in your life. And just like Jesus, I'm going to proclaim it to you. This is the acceptable year of the Lord for you to get free. Have your heart be put back together. Say amen, somebody. Another passage. So Jesus ascends into heaven. It says this in Acts 10 and verse 38 about Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Notice what Jesus does. He heals all who are under the power of the devil. That's what he has for you today. He has healing for your life. Jesus had an incredible deliverance ministry. That's what we would say theologically. Now, for some of you, you're pretty new to the church, and so you're like, there it is. Whoop, there it is. Like, the worship was a lot. I was kind of like going, deliverance. This is where people's heads start spinning, and pea soup starts going around. Like, Pastor, I don't want it. You're Googling, like, Baptist churches near me. You know, like, listen. Jesus has a deliverance ministry because everybody needs deliverance. There's something in your life that you need to get free from that's holding you back. And yeah, it might be your head spinning, but it also might just be things you're dealing with, things that have a grip on your heart. And we have stuff in our life that he wants to get into the messy areas and deal with the heart issues. 1 John chapter 3 tells us the reason why Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work, not mess around with it. I hate it when it's getting better, Pastor. Let's break it off your life in Jesus' name. Let's have you really get healed in your heart in Jesus' name. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work, and he wants to deal with all of that stuff that gunks us up in our heart. You're saved. I get it. If you're a Christian here, you made him Lord, you're saved. But there's stuff in your heart, in your life, habits, addictions, we have to deal with, and Jesus has nothing but deliverance for you. Now, the way that we engage in this process, it matters. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it shows us a little bit of a recipe for how to deal with this junk. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. So the world's sending rockets, the world's fighting. God's like, listen, it's a war, so you're opposing somebody, but it's different. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Another translation would say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Not carnal, like not fleshly, not something you can throw, but they are mighty. And it draws contrast because naturally we don't think that they're mighty. We think that weapons are mighty, but God's saying, I got a weapon for you that is mighty, but it's different than what this flesh can perceive. It's mighty for demolishing strongholds. Another translation would say for the tearing down, the toppling over of strongholds. So there are areas that have gripped us. And you may be free in like 90% of the issues of life, but there's that one thing that's bothering you, that's gumming you up. Emotional things, relational things, addictions, habits. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's a lust thing. Maybe it's a thought life where your mind is just speeding out of control. Maybe it's a spending thing. I don't know what it is, but like there's a thing for many of us in the sound of my voice today, a thing that's gripped our heart. And whatever it is, you haven't been able to shake it. So like a couple times a year, you'll be like, I've got to deal with this. I got to get this out of my, I don't want it. And that's the truth. Most people don't. Yeah, sometimes you're like, I wish God actually approved of this sin, but I know it's a sin, you know? Like, so therefore, in conclusion, I wish that it wasn't in my life if he really doesn't want it. And you try and you engage, but it stays. And you want that broken off. I want you to hear this. And some of you came, this is worth the price of admission, everybody. Don't give up. You've done it before. You've tried to shake it, couldn't get off. It's still in your life. And some of you are like, whatever. It's just, listen to me. Don't give up. Don't resign yourself to mediocrity because you've struggled with it in the past. God is a deliverer. He has come to abolish the devil's work, and he wants you to be free in Jesus' name. Amen? So it goes on. How do we do that? We demolish strongholds and, 2 Corinthians 10, we demolish arguments. Arguments? Well, you know exactly what this is. This is where you're talking to yourself. This is where you're reasoning differently. Every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. What's a pretension? It's pretending to be true. Here's what it is. In your moments of solitude, you're driving, maybe when you go to bed at night, laying your head in the pillow, it's reasonable. It pretends to be the best. Well, I guess that's just the way it has to be. And it masquerades as something that's true, but it's not. Bible says this, we take captive every thought and we make it obedient. How? To Christ. So you're going to have thoughts. They're going to pretend to be true. They're going to contend to be true in your life. They set themselves up to be truth, but they're not. How do we know that they're not? You relay it to what God says. If God says certain things and you're thinking or feeling or you resound with, you've got this resonation in your heart with this thing, but it's not what God said, you got to reconcile that. And God is saying, how do you do it? You take that thought captive and you make it obedient to Jesus. Now, here's the action point in all of this. We take it captive and we make it obedient to Christ. We make it obedient. And that is this. Prophetically, you need to hear this. God thinks about you thoughts you haven't even thought about yourself. God thinks wonderful things about you and your family and your future. Bible says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the great things, the wonderful things your God has. And I just want to say prophetically, some of you have thought so low. Today, some blinders are going to come off. And even if you don't believe it, you're going to hear God is good. He loves you. He's for you. He has nothing but good for you. And you can trust him. So we need to get rid of these strongholds, yeah? You're like, yeah, let me tell you what a stronghold is. You'll give me a little bit stronger response. Stronghold, write it down. A stronghold is an area where you actually believe the lie. You think that's true. You think it works this way. It really doesn't. You think it does. Strongholds, in every concordance of every pastor around, if you're a Christian pastor, it would say this. Strongholds make us prisoners locked by deception. Strongholds make us source life. That's your happiness, the life, your livelihood, from lies. And that's why it weighs so much on our life. It feels like it has power. Look, it doesn't, but it feels that way. We think that it has more power than it actually does. So I heard a story about how you train elephants. And I'm not sure if they still do it this way. I've petitioned Ringling Brothers to bring the animals back. They don't care. But the way that you would train an elephant back in the day in circus times is you'd have a large chain on a small elephant. So when the elephant's a baby, you'd chain up that elephant against a tree. And that elephant would kind of wobble. And just like my dog, Massimo, we have a new dog. It's a whole thing. I can't talk about it. But so this dog wants to bolt. So I went on Amazon, got me one of those clickers that electrocute him. There's nothing more satisfying than that. I'm just telling you. Hey, don't knock it till you tried it. Okay, so the elephant's chained to a tree, right? And he'll like try to move, but he can't move. He's a baby elephant. It's a big chain. It's a big tree. But by the time that that elephant becomes an adult, they can put twine around that elephant's leg and tie him to a stake in the ground, maybe that deep. And that elephant won't even try to move from that spot. Why does that happen? They think that the chain from their childhood is still holding them back. And because they think it, it therefore is holding them back. You understand what I'm saying? So there's some chains there. That elephant could break free with no effort whatsoever. Just boop, take it right out. But he can't because the chain has power within him. And somebody needs to hear this today. You can break free from that junk. You can be free in Jesus. You don't have to be bound by the ways of this world. Amen, somebody? Write it down. A stronghold. A stronghold is anything that exalts itself in our minds. What does it do? It pretends to be bigger or more powerful than God. That's a stronghold. You believe a lie. You're sourcing your life from lies. It exalts itself, and it says that it's bigger than God. What a lie. I heard a story recently about a woman that was named Elizabeth Smart. And when she was 14 years old, it's a heart-wrenching story, really actually difficult to hear. When she was 14 years old, she was abducted from her house by knife point by some nut, some religious zealot. His name was David Mitchell. He thought himself to be some sort of divine seer, and he saw that 14-year-old girl as his wife, and he took her out into the desert of Salt Lake City area and for 9 months held her captive and took advantage of her every night. And this poor little thing, and so he convinced her that she could not be free. He said, if you try to break away from me, I'll kill everybody that you know. And he broke her down, and within 2 weeks' time, he had broken her down into submission to the spot where he actually took her into town. Now, he made her wear some sort of veil so only her eyes were visible so nobody would spot her. But he would take her into town, and they would walk town together. And for months, she was out there in the public right in front of everybody. Actually, one time, there was a police officer that came up with a picture of her and said, "Sir, have you seen this little girl? We're trying to find this little girl." She was right there. But because she feared him and feared that he would kill everybody around her and kill her and everybody would die, that she couldn't do anything about it, she was feet away from freedom, but yet she was bound. Now check this, he wasn't even armed. But in her mind, it was so real. And it makes me think that's exactly where people go in their life. They're feet away from that freedom. And you've said to yourself, "I can't do that. I can't be that. I can't become that type of person." You're a few steps away from deliverance. You listen to me. Never forget this. The devil has power, but he has no authority. He might be able to mess with you and kick up some dust, but he has no authority. You're actually the one with authority. And Jesus gave it to you. He's the higher name, everybody. And so we need to realize that when we believe the lie of the devil, we empower the liar. We empower him. We take the authority that's ours and we give it over to him. He has no authority over your life, but he begins to speak to us and we fall into that. And the power authority, which he by default does not have, it becomes his. It goes into our hands and we become a slave. But you listen to me. There is a greater power that can wipe the deck with that junk. But if you believe he has all the power, therefore he does. We can't give him that power. Strongholds. This is what it looks like. These are the symptoms of a stronghold. Jot these down. Strongholds are going to steal your mental focus. You want to be able to think, but you can't focus. You used to have vision. You used to have forward drive, but you're caught up in this thing, and you can't think anymore. You want to have vision, but you got this habit or addiction or this angst in your mind, and so it steals your mental focus. How about this one? It makes you feel controlled. Makes you feel controlled. And in fact, the enemy does this by not only accusing you of maybe a sin or some sort of insult against you, he makes you feel like it is who you are. Let me explain. Maybe, you know, you're socially drinking and you know you've gone a little bit too far, but you just feel like inside you're like, it doesn't matter. You're not going too far. And then you're like, I need this in order to function. I need this in order to sleep. I need this in order to be able to go to work. And in your mind, you start to reason, and the voice in your mind says, it's okay, you're fine. You got a handle on this. And then it goes really far, and it's clear not only to you, but everybody that you love. And all of a sudden, that same voice that was in your mind that said everything was okay, you can handle it, it then calls you a drunk. It then labels you, this is who you are. You are an alcoholic, and it belittles you. Do you see how it works? You want to know how the enemy tempts you or how he berates you? His voice often sounds like your voice. It's your inner monologue oftentimes when it's submitted over to him. And so it goes beyond just something you did or a sin you might deal with. It becomes your identity. You are a pervert. You are a drunk. You are a failure. You see it? It controls the way that you live your life. And then write this one down. It consumes your emotional energy. Consumes your emotional energy. There's feelings of hopelessness and depression. It begins to come in. You feel emotionally drained. You can't make decisions. Why? All that energy's gone because you bought into a lie. And then it leads to this. You might not think of this one, but it's true. It distracts us from godly purpose. So God has a purpose for your life that's more than just dealing with the issues in your life as they pop up. Like, God wants to deal with your issues, but we become focused and fixated on the stuff going on in our life, and we don't think about the greater thing he has. And here's what this looks like. The devil, you know, once you get saved, he kind of concedes the battle. Nothing he can do about you going to heaven or not. But he would love it if you didn't take anybody else with you. So he might not be able to get you, but he's happy to make your life, and hey, if they do pray, I'm going to make it so they pray all about them and about what they've got going on. They're not going to pray for the lost. They're not going to pray for their church. It's all going to be about them. He's happy to make you that type of person who has no purpose, makes you look over the great things that he has for you. Wow. Next thing, finally, it ultimately leads here, it's that he robs you of the abundant life that Jesus has. He wants to rob you of that purpose of actually making a difference, actually having impact, actually being free. So Jesus made that dividing line. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. God has an abundant life for you. Some of y'all, like even right now, I can feel it. You're resisting that statement. You listen to me and the authority of God's word. God has more for you. God has great things for you. Don't give up. You don't have to live in bondage. Say amen, somebody. Amen. We deserve everything that Jesus died and shed his blood. We deserve every good thing that our God has given us. And if he called us free, indeed, we ought to get every bit of it. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And this is what I'm praying happens today. I'm praying 2 Timothy 2. I'm praying that you're going to come to your senses. That for a moment in this message, you're going to go, and escape the trap of the devil who has taken people captive in this room to do what he wants you to do. I want you to be free in Jesus' name. Begs the question, how do we do it? I want to help with that today. So when we talk about deliverance, Jesus put it this way. It's kind of a thematic thing. Luke 11, the Bible says, when a strong man, this is the enemy, when a strong man armed to the teeth, he stands guard, he's safe and sound. But what if? And I love that. This is talking about Jesus. What if a stronger man comes along with superior weapons? I want to show you what those are today. Well, then he's beaten at his own game. These are the words of Christ. The arsenal that gave him so much confidence hauled off and his precious possessions plundered. What happens when you get these weapons that we talked about earlier, when you actually know how to use them, the enemy is disarmed. What if that stronger man is coming into your life today? What if Jesus is ministering these weapons of the warfare in spirit? What if he's giving these to you so that you can win? Now, it would take me weeks of really personal time to take you through the journey of freedom, and it would be my honor to do that. I want to get you started today. Maybe it's enough to make you dangerous, but I want to get you started on that process so you can have some forward motion. Three thoughts. Jot these down. How do we overcome strongholds? Number one, it starts with taking back our thought life. It starts with redirecting what you're thinking, your inner monologue, the self-talk that you have with it. We have to redirect that because our thoughts are where he fights us. Well, I thought that he brings sickness and disease on people. Often he does, but it goes through the mind gate. He'll get them to believe that they're a candidate for a certain illness. I'm telling you, you watch TV today, the commercials. I mean, they'll just talk, hey, this little shot, it's going to make you thin. Of course, you're going to have violent gas the rest of your life. Your nose is going to fall off. You're going to go cripple and have a blood disorder. But listen, you're going to lose a lot of weight. When we bury you, you're going to look phenomenal, you know? And so there's a side effect. And so the thoughts are the issue. We have to take captive our thoughts. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians. But that's not the only place the Bible says that. It says it this way in Romans chapter 8. It says, those that are dominated by the sinful nature, what do they do, everybody? Say it with me. They, one, two, three, they think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, what? And you can see it up there, but I want you to imagine a lot of response would be like this. Well, the people that are godly, what are they doing? They were raised by great parents. Or they go to church all the time. Or they never miss. No, listen, they're thinking about the right stuff. It's not that they had a head start with parents. It's just that they're thinking a different way. They think about the things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, it's death. NIV, King James, it would say that it's deadly. And I think that that's better because it can kill you. But more likely, before you die a natural death, it's going to make dreams die, or your marriage die, or your emotions die. Why? Because you're dominated by that. You can't stop thinking that way. Keep that passage up here for a second. Here's what this looks like. You think you're doing good, and then a commercial comes on, and it triggers you. You start to go south, and this, that's the best I got, everybody. You know what I'm talking about? Apply that where the mud sticks because it makes you go south. And you're dominated by something that you don't want to be dominated by. And it's not just physical death. It's the death of your dreams. If you lend the Spirit control, the Bible says that there's peace there. Romans 12, the Bible puts it this way. Don't copy the behavior or the customs of the world. You're like, well, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm trying to get over, Pastor Joe. Okay, here's how it works. Let God transform you. That's what I want. Just touch me. Pastor Joe, I want to come down to the front. You get out that oil from Family Christian Bookstore that's like 10 years old now, and I want you to go, bam, just bam. Just make me different. Look, if I could do that, number one, I'd be going to the Democratic National. I'm sorry, just kidding. Okay. Take that out of the podcast. Okay. You want God to transform you, but it's not presto change-o. You get a vote. Let God transform you to a new person by changing the way that you think. So all the provision and power to transform your, it's there, but you're going to have to start thinking the way God thinks. You're going to have to start redirecting your mind over to that. That's where the freedom is, because worldly thinking is miserable. Haven't we had enough of that? Just the angst in your mind, that running to everything. It's miserable to live that way. An inferiority complex. Everybody's better. It's miserable. You can't feel comfortable in front of anybody. It's miserable to think like the world, but God has something better. Write it down. I will never change my life until I change the way I think. That's true, everybody. Right? You want to really change, it's going to have to be, I'm not going to think that way, and I'm going to abandon my hope in that. Because where's that leading you? Okay. So we need to change our mind. What does that look like? To overcome strongholds, write it down. Number two, we need to identify and reject the lie. Both. Some people in the room, it's very easy to identify the lie, even though you've kind of made peace with it. But you know that it's there. Others of you, you don't see it quite yet. We want to help, okay? Identify and then reject it. You've got to say, that's not what God says about me. Now, we're going to talk about that. So if you're addicted, there's a lie there. Like, put it this way, it's your lie. What's the lie you have accepted? If you have a habit, there's a lie there. If you have some sort of like emotional, there's a lie there. Find out where that is and understand that those lies come from your enemy. Bible puts it that way in John 8. We talked about Jesus and what he came for. This is what the devil came for. The Bible says that he speaks lies like it's a language because he is a liar and the father of all lies. What he's saying about you is not true. God and what he says about you in his word, that's what's true. But it doesn't feel that way. Exactly. You need that transformation because it doesn't feel that way. We have to take the step of faith, the step of obedience, and reject the lie. Write it down. If we expose the lie, we actually defeat the liar. You take the authority back. This isn't true. That's not what God says about me. That's not even what the world would say. Sometimes the things that he'll taunt you with, they don't add up. And if you externalize that, you'd know that. So we take back our thought life, and then we identify and reject the lie. And then number three, we replace the lie with God's truth. So what does God say? Okay, this is very important. A couple times a year, I try to graft this into a message because I've heard so many people talk about the freedom that it brings. So there's people in the room, and you're an overanalyzer. You're a thinker. Now, I'm a believer that God gave you a brain, and you need to solve problems. The pastor of this church, I have a strategy. We have planning. We put a lot of thought into those type of things. But I've also been in different spots in my life where out of anxiety, I've tried to figure every problem that I had out and it tormented me. I'm not going to make us lift our hands. And here's what I found out. I wanted to think about something different, but I couldn't. You don't want to think about it, but you find yourself thinking about it all the time. You'd rather think about something else, and when it knocks at the door of your heart, you're like, ah, I hate this. How do you deal with it? The Bible shows us that God gave you a handle on your thought life. What is it? It's your mouth. I'm going to show it to you. This is an all play. I want everybody to do this exercise with us. Here we go. We're going to do a little Simon Says, okay? I'm going to have you out loud. This is everybody. So if you don't do it, you're telling everybody you're not spiritual, okay? So I want you out loud. You're going to count from 10 to 1. So it's going to be like 10, 9. Okay, we're going to do that. And then it's Simon Says. So if I want you to do something else, I'll have you do it. Are you ready? Here we go. 10, 9. Say your name out loud. Wait. Okay. Very obedient. Except not. Those of you that said your name out loud, were you still thinking about counting? No. Those of you who kept on counting, you weren't thinking about saying your name. God put a handle on your thought life. I don't want to think about that. Open your mouth. Literally say that. God, I don't want to think about this. God, I'm tormented by this. I'm not solving a problem here, God. I'm tormented. I don't think this is from you. If it is, torment away, but I doubt it. God, help. Help with what? Hey, the closer you get to God, more you get into his word, you'll find that your best friend might be words. Because you'll go through a time and you're being attacked in your mind and you'll start to say, no weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I condemn, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, Isaiah 54. I am more than a conqueror through him who gives me strength. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. All things work together for good to those that are called according to God's purpose. I'm called. God has not brought me this far to dump me. I will succeed, and I will not quit. And you begin to speak God's word. And then you're not tormented by whatever comes into your mind. Well, whatever happens in the middle of the night? Tell your spouse that you're a nut. No, you know what happens? If I wake up, and I did last night at 4 o'clock because that demon-possessed dog woke me up. Couldn't get back to sleep, and so I prayed in the spirit for an hour and a half. I'm not going to think about whatever comes into my mind. I know who I am. I know I can't take those type of things. And so I have learned I can overcome. You know, the Bible talks about spiritual warfare. The Bible uses pretty strong language when it talks about what Christians should be. It talks about you conquering and having triumph and victory. Well, Pastor, I don't know about all that. Then you've already fallen prey to the enemy's lie. We have to graduate from prayers that are like, now I lay me down to sleep. We have to start saying, no, God, I need you to move over here. My kids, I plead the blood over their life. They're going to public school. God, put the right friends in there. I take away any bad. You need to start praying and seeking God because we need to realize the strength of our God. Jot it down. Nothing is bigger or more powerful than our God. Nothing. Well, Pastor Joe, but I don't know about this situation. No, listen. Nothing's more powerful than our God. But they were born that way. Nothing is more powerful than our God. But my daddy was like that. Nothing is more powerful than your God. There is no addiction, no habit, no hang-up that you have. You can be free in Jesus' name. Be free. Be free. Be free. God has nothing for you but freedom today. What does it look like? Looks like this. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. You know you're supposed to stand up against the devil? Yes. Stop letting him eat your lunch. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. Yeah. Now, there's so much more to that passage, so much gold. But the word of God in prayer, you need to settle nothing. Nothing is too big, too great for my God. My God is all, nothing. You're like, Pastor, I don't know about that. Nothing in the Greek means nothing, everybody. Like, if you want to go deep. It's the Word of God in prayer, and that is the very best pitch that I possibly can make for New Chapel Grow. So New Chapel Grow talks about a lot of things. It's a small group that we're starting today. It's after third service in the Grow Room. It's starting today. You're like, well, I got plans today. If you feel like you're in bondage, you ought to cancel your plans. If you feel like, I just need to know God better, maybe you're being stirred right now, you need to go to New Chapel Grow. And it's really this opportunity, and we talk about a lot of different things. Freedom is only 1 week, but if you need freedom, you should engage in this. There's going to be a lot of Word of God and a lot of prayer. You need free, it's in the room. Well, I get it, your second service, but cancel the plans, whatever you go after third service. You can leave your kids back and new kids. We've got lunch for them, lunch for you, because if you need to be free, there's nothing more important. You're not going to get purpose. You're not going to make a difference, really, if your heart's not free. And the good news, it's the job description of our Jesus. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon him. He's anointed by God to set at liberty those who are oppressed by the devil and to heal the brokenhearted. You say, Pastor Joe, I've gone to a really dark place. Well, that's all right, because you serve a God who calls himself light. He's on the move. He's all powerful. And friend, you can be free. Do you receive it, New Chapel? Amen, somebody. You can be free. Heavenly Father, I pray for my church. God, I pray that you'd spark that thing in their heart. There's so many people that they're like, God, I want that. I pray that they take the step. God, I speak freedom over my church, but God, they get a vote. So I pray that they make the right choice, to make the decision to think differently and to focus on every good thing you have for them. But God, I do pray that as they make that decision, when they come to church, that they'd come into a bubble of peace, an oasis where the enemy has no hold on them, so that they can make decisions for you. God, I pray that they'd be bold in making decisions. I pray for husbands and wives to squeeze each other's hand right now, saying, hey, we're going to New Chapel Grow. I pray for families to be united around the fact that God has goodness for them and they can all be free. God, I speak freedom over my church in Jesus' name. Let them experience your liberty in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you came in here and you don't know God, the Bible says the only way to know your God is through Jesus. God has one son. And the Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can say that and make it into a magic spell. Just say words and you'll leave here the same way you came. Or if with your heart you make him Lord of your life by saying that out loud, I'm telling you, everything can be different. You can be born again, the Bible says. Yes, have an eternity in heaven, but God's life can rush into you today. If that's you and you want to pray, we want to pray with you. Church, everybody out loud, I want everybody to pray this with those praying it for the first time. Pray it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sin so I could be forgiven. You raised Jesus from the dead. I believe it. I call Jesus Lord. Forgive my sin. Put your Spirit in me. I thank you, God, who the Son sets free, is free indeed. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, New Chapel. Come on, New Chapel. Blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and set you free. And as you go, you're dismissed. Have a great week.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.